Let's go already!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
the next president of the United States, Adam Deaver.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the POTUS podcast. It's been a minute. Busy life, day job, running for president, all that stuff. But I'm back with this episode here. This is the main issue of my candidacy, term limits. If you haven't noticed lately, Congress is filled with just a few individuals that are past their prime, let's say. Not just Congress, either. The White House is occupied by someone beyond their prime. But with any luck, I'll get in and we'll have someone slightly less older and way more coherent than either of the two boobs that the parties are going to give us, who I've nicknamed the Soggy Bottom Boys. So I'll be referring to them as the Soggy Bottom Boys from here on out. So there you go. But let's face it, it's going to be Trump versus Biden again, right? I know everyone out there is just excited as all get out about that prospect, but let's talk about the fossils in Congress first. We'll dive into some of the finer points of this phenomena in a moment, but this is the primary issue of my candidacy. Congressional term limits now, period. I can't say this enough, that this is the number one priority for my presidency. There will never be any real change until we can get term limits on Congress. Without term limits, the showboating will just continue. The meaningless rhetoric will continue. The corruption will continue. The spending will continue. And let's just be frank. Old people have old ideas. But speaking of spending, in a perfect world, I would like to couple some financial restraints with this issue as well. But I'll consider it a win if we can just get the term limits. Keep in mind that the first hurdle here is that we would need a new constitutional amendment to enact congressional term limits. We are long overdue for some constitutional overhaul. I don't think anybody can dispute that. But getting Congress to put term limits on itself is going to be like asking a 600-pound man to make only one trip to the all-you-can-eat buffet. Simply put, this is going to be a fight. It's going to be easier for me to win the White House than to get Congress to go along with term limits. And in that vein, we must elect people in this next election that will champion this issue. We must hold every single member of Congress to this demand. And if they are not for term limits, no matter how awesome you might think your rep or your senator is, you have to throw them out. I can't say it enough. Nothing will ever change if we keep electing the same people from the same parties over and over again. Why are we surprised when Joe Biden says something racist? He's been a racist his entire life. This is the same question I asked before Trump was elected. Why would anyone that benefits from the system do anything to try to change it? Trump bragged about his use of the system. You can't be mad at him. The system is there for him to abuse. But when he tries to use eminent domain to put up a parking lot for a casino, come on. Pelosi, McConnell, Biden, Trump, Feinstein, is finally dead. Why are we continuously electing people that even if they were interested in changing things, won't be around to see the effects of the change? There is probably not a single sector surrounding the government, and I mean at all levels, that can't stand to see some improvement. Taxes, military, police, the justice system. I dare you to find an organ in the bloated body that is our government that is just great the way it is. The State Department, the FBI, NSA, CIA, who the heck still trusts our government? It feels that the level of conspiracy theory that goes on today is the prevalence of it, is something pretty new, right? You know, like, I mean, the truthers are still out there. The people who say we didn't land on the moon are still out there. But I mean, good God, you had the Maui fires. People thought they were their space lasers. I mean, part of all of that craziness comes from a distrust of the government. And I'm not saying you should trust the government, but there's distrusting your government and then assuming that they have like energy weapons that can melt steel from space. I don't know. There is simply no reason for the individual branches of government to not have term limits. And this includes the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court, of course, is a lifetime appointment. But if you're looking at the House and the Senate, you know, some of these seats are guarantees. When you look at gerrymandering and some of these ultra blue or ultra red states, you know, no one's going to beat a McConnell. No one's going to beat Sheila Jackson Lee in her district. For all intent and purpose, those types of seats, those types of positions are lifetime appointments. And what have these human leeches done for their districts or the country? You know, aside from doing everything they can to keep their job and to pad their bank accounts through corruption and insider trading, I don't know. Probably not much. So here's what I propose. This would be the 28th Amendment to the United States Constitution. All congressional members will be subject to term limits as described in this amendment upon ratification. Members of the Senate will be limited to 2 6-year terms. Members of the House of Representatives will be limited to 3 4-year terms. Time served in one chamber shall be accounted for when running for office for either chamber of Congress, as well as when running for President of the United States. No individual shall be eligible for office if they cannot serve a full term for the office sought. Pretty simple, right? That's the point. Now, there is a ton of other stuff that I would love to lump in there, like I said a little bit earlier, but I don't want to get too gritty right from the start, right? Although that is kind of a strategy worth considering sometimes. It's actually a viable political strategy to start at a point that's so far above where you want to actually be that when the other side compromises, you just end up right where you wanted to be anyway. Unions do this all the time. You know, they come to the table and, hey, we want a 100% raise across the board. And the company's like, how about 40? And they're like, absolutely. There are plenty of other things to go after, and they might not necessarily need constitutional amendments, i.e. financial restraints, conflict of interest laws, stuff of that nature, right? But getting Congress to police themselves, again, is a tough job. But term limits is something that really they're not going to be able to avoid. Most polls show that only around 15% of Americans are not in favor of term limits. And I can only assume that 15% all work in Washington in some form of capacity for Congress. Can you imagine if we make 2024 a one-issue election and everyone for term limits votes for everyone who is for term limits? Imagine some of the changes we might actually see in this country after we sweep away the oligarchs. Of course, most people are single-issue voters anyway, but hardly ever is that issue term limits because nobody has the guts to bring it up. As a Democrat or Republican, you can't. Try bringing up term limits and see how quickly your party throws you out the door. The parties have laid their foundations on generational power, but the two-party model is beyond obsolete. Not that it was ever not obsolete, but I do believe we are in a place where the systems have evolved beyond the two-party control. As much as they have rigged everything to their benefit, the partisanship and extremism that neither party does anything about has pushed people too far. There has never been a better time for a third option to win the presidency. And that option isn't Kennedy, people. He's just another old party Democrat with old party ideas and a soupçon of conspiracy theorists thrown in the mix. The system isn't broken, folks. It's just been jerry-rigged by the worst America had to offer over the last 100 years. We start to undo all that Bondo and Shoupalis with term limits. Now let's do a quick civics refresher on how we add amendments to the Constitution. Article 5 of the Constitution states, "The Congress, whenever 2/3 of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or, on the application of the legislators of 2/3 of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the Constitution, when ratified by the legislators of 3/4 of the several states, or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state, without its consent, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Now, what are the clauses mentioned, you ask, in Section 9, Article 1? Congress could not act on immigration or income taxes until 1808. These guys were thinking ahead. They were building a new nation, and what better way than to have open borders and zero income tax? Now, hopefully I didn't just trigger anyone by saying open borders, because don't worry, just because America had open borders for that time period doesn't mean there weren't lots of restrictions on immigrants or slaves, for that matter. But I digress. Two-thirds from both houses or a convention of the states. That's 67 senators and 290 representatives. After that, it goes to the states. The president has no say in the amendment process. 38 states have to ratify the amendment for it to become a part of the U.S. Constitution. Here, I'll say it again. This is the number one priority of my campaign. And I'll keep saying this. Old people bring old ideas. And in this case, not only does old mean old, it means these life-sucking ticks that have been in Congress forever. People like Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi or Sheila Jackson Lee, you just throw a dart. It feels like there is a bit of a threshold where members of Congress cross into an almost guaranteed seat, and then they just become totally useless. Really, that just means they're out there playing for the crowd, and they don't really care about making any meaningful legislation. They get on silly committees that waste time and money, you know, like a modernization committee, and it's like Ralph from The Simpsons. And God forbid you vote for the other party, because in whatever gerrymandered district you might be in, all hell would break loose if you did. We must create turnover. We must return Congress, and hopefully one day all political positions, to the original intent. Politics was never intended to be a career. It was supposed to be, I'm going to Washington to fix something, and I'll be back when it's done. It's supposed to be Mr. Smith goes to Washington. The people that represent us are supposed to hold some reverence to this nation. But now we elect people that despise our country and are only there to be a vocal disruptor and have little to no intention of doing anything aside from hanging out long enough to qualify for that congressional pension. And you all know who I'm talking about. I plan on getting every candidate, both incumbent and challenger, on the record as to whether they're for congressional term limits or not. If they're against term limits, do not vote them in, period. This amendment should be the first thing the new Congress addresses, and it should be sent to the states within the first 90 days of the new government. If this sounds impossible, well, yeah, that's sort of the theme of my campaign. I've already tried to contact a few people. My federal representative is Beth Van Dyne, and she wrote back with one of the classic rebuffs of congressional term limits. And that was that you need people to never leave Congress because it's only through a few dozen years that people gain true perspective and understanding of the issues. I sent her a question. I sent her another question, and I asked this of everybody listening, because there are people out there who actually believe that. But what issue do you need to spend 10, 20, 30 years in Congress to, quote unquote, fully understand? And yeah, she hasn't written back just yet, and I doubt she will. And hopefully on the campaign trail, I can run up, run into her and ask her face to face. And then Ted Cruz, he hasn't said anything yet. But I can only imagine he's not for term limits. He used to be he got in on the Tea Party, but now he's anything but. And then you got good old John Cornyn. I'm thinking he's retiring. I think I heard that he's retiring after this this session, or you know, this term of his. He's not up for election this year. But to Cornyn's credit, he gave me the same answer that he gave me years ago when I was in college and asked him then. And his answer was just giving a lesson on what the Constitution says. And the Constitution, since it's not in the Constitution, you know, it's a moot point to John, I guess. He doesn't actually say yes or no. He just says, hey, it's not in the Constitution. And, you know, I just want to say, yeah, thanks, John. I know what the Constitution says. I'm asking if you're for changing it. Maybe since he's on his way out, after this term that he's serving, I hope. I hope I'm not remembering that incorrectly. Maybe he'll be for it. Maybe he'll have a change of heart. But folks, we haven't changed the Constitution in years. In 32 years, to be precise. And that last amendment that was ratified, that only took 202 years to ratify. Sure. If we can get Congress to get off their doughy butts and pass something that should have passed years ago, this amendment should sail through the states. But this will be only the first of what I hope will be many more amendments that we can add while I'm the president. How about abolishing residential property tax? Because that's stupid. If you have property tax, do you ever actually own your property? The answer is no. You are renting it from the government. So yeah, I'd like to abolish property tax. How about we define citizenship a little bit better? Because natural born, sure, but you know, if you're natural born to an illegal immigrant, should you have citizenship? I'm going to say no. Here's one. I really want to do this one, and we're seeing some good examples of why this should happen. Raise the voting age to 25. I think we've all come to understand that the human brain, is not fully developed until 25, and unfortunately, that group, the 18 to 25 year old group, is the dumbest out there, and I mean that in every sense of the word. They are the least informed, they are the most impressionable, and yeah. My only caveat there would be if you are in the military. If you're in the military, you can vote. And that's why it was even lowered from 21 to 18, was because of people in Vietnam. You know, that was the whole rationale there. But now, no, let's raise it back up to 25, and to answer your next question, no, you wouldn't pay taxes until 25 because, hey, no taxation without representation. Am I right, folks? We're not going to agree on all of that or even half of what I might have just said. But we're in desperate need of congressional term limits. And I really think that we can all agree on that. And once we get that into the Constitution, then maybe people will feel empowered enough to take that to their own states and their own local government entities. People are already asking me why I don't start small. Maybe run for mayor or governor or something, but no, absolutely not. I'm doing the impossible to show everyone that we don't have to suffer under the system that the two parties have created for themselves to enjoy. The system is rigged, there's no doubt. Beyond the endless gerrymandering, just look at some of the crazy differences in how states allow presidential ballot access to independents. Louisiana. I can get on the ballot in Louisiana with 7 sworn electors and a $500 fee. Pretty cool, right? I probably won't spend a whole lot of time in Louisiana getting on the ballot because it's going to be pretty easy. Oklahoma does it that way too. Oh, but they don't charge $500 total. They charge $5,000 per elector. Yeah, $35,000 total. Here in Texas, if I want my name to show up on the ballot, I have to collect 113,000 signatures by May 13th. Oh boy, so time's a-wasting. Texas is one of the earliest deadlines, and you have to put your VP on the petition. Because, you know, why not? I have to find a VP in the next 2 weeks. Does Trump? When does he have to declare his VP? Oh, but he's a major party candidate. The rules are different for him. Cool, huh? The system is rigged, folks. I think we can all agree on that. But I'm here to tell you, and more importantly, to show you that everything has evolved beyond this system, this two-party control. I'm under no illusion as to how difficult my path to the White House is, people. I just talked to my mom today, and she's telling me, I don't want you to run because it's going to be so hard and people are going to be mean. And I'm like, and? And I told her about Mount Everest. And like Edmund Hillary, this is just another mountain to climb. And as the hilarious Jim Carrey said in Dumb and Dumber.
So you're telling me there's a chance. Yeah!
There's always a chance, folks. I got my first set of business cards printed out, and I found a fantastic quote from Robert Heinlein. who was just a fantastic science fiction author, a really deep thinker. He's Starship Troopers, and trust me, the movie and the book are completely different, and people who say he was a fascist are retarded. That's okay. I'll do Starship Troopers in another day. But the quote is, "Everything is theoretically impossible until it is done." The point of me going after the top of the mountain, the point of me going after Everest, is because people need to see that it can be done. It took Edmund Hillary showing people that it could be done, and today there is a waiting line at the top of Everest. Just imagine a future that isn't dictated by these two horrifically corrupt political parties, where we don't have to listen to pundits or the media that are in the tank for one side or the other, that we don't have to get opinions from people that treat politics like it's you're cheering for your favorite sports team. Hillary Clinton was on the TV the other day already saying if Trump gets back into office, he's going to be a dictator. How is he going to be a dictator on day one? These idiotic scare tactics. The Democrats are out there talking about a national abortion ban. Well, a national abortion ban would be goddamn unconstitutional. Check my episode on abortion. I say it. I'm saying it all the time. If you fall for the scam that Trump's going to be a dictator or that the Republicans are going to pass a national abortion ban, don't fall for it. I know really smart people that fell for the ivermectin is a horse dewormer thread. It's not. That's like giving Benadryl to your dog and then calling Benadryl a dog medicine. There's no integrity in these parties. There's no intellectual honesty in these parties. We're suddenly debating the ethics on dropping the nuke again on Japan. Hey, newsflash, dumbasses, if you are analyzing the past through a moral scope of today, you've already failed. You've already failed. Because mores and standards and ethics, they evolve and they change. Humanity has a brutal and bloody past. And what's going on in Gaza? Man, that isn't even a blip on the Geiger counter of human brutality. That isn't even the worst thing that's happened in the last 10 years. 200,000 dead in Syria. But we trust Gaza. I'm getting off. I'm going off tangent. That's one of the things that I can't stand in this current political environment is the absolute lack of intellectual honesty, self-awareness by either side. You know, when you have somebody who's in the tank for one side or the other, they just seem to just create this oblivious curtain around them as to what their own side is doing. And I'll use this sports analogy all the time. It's, you know, I'm a huge Seattle Seahawks fan, humongous, fanatic, crazy, right? So if, Sean McVay, the coach of the Rams, if he got a DUI, I would be like, suspend him, hang him, kill him, kick him out of the league. You know, I'd be livid. But if our new guy got a DUI, whose name I haven't even committed to memory yet, if he got a DUI, I'd just be like, it's all right. You know, just send him to defensive driving. You can't treat politics like that. You can't. And the parties are daily getting pushed to the fringes. The talk, the optics, it's continuously being driven by the most extreme elements in these two parties. There will never be a better time for a third party candidate to take the White House. Never. Just think of a candidate who looks at everything objectively and doesn't have to appease his particular party. Imagine that kind of freedom. Because you see it within the parties. right? You see certain people who look like they could be interesting. They seem like they have integrity, but they step out of line and the party cracks that whip. I mean, all you have to do is look at Trump in 2016. The amount of people in the Republican Party that just fell in lockstep behind him after he won, that was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting, especially Ted Cruz. You know, there's a thing, the parties and those who operate within the parties are more important than the country. And we can't have a president who gives who cares more about the parties than the country. The president is supposed to represent the country. The president should not represent a party. They have every intent of representing the country, and every move I make will be for the benefit of the country as a whole. Not any individual citizen, not any individual group of citizens, but for the country. Because I love this country. This country has always been great. It always is great. Even in the darker days of our past, there's not a country that doesn't have a couple of stains on its record. There's no utopia out there. There's no Shangri-La out there. American is still the light on the hill for thousands and millions of people around the globe. You know, for everyone who protests and decries systemic racism or the evils, the horrors, the race, whatever. Millions are still flocking here every year for a better chance, legally and illegally. So we're obviously not that bad. I don't see people flooding Africa. I don't see people flooding Australia. Of course, you can't flood Australia because it's an island. But they're not flocking to Canada. They're not flocking to Mexico. They're not. Well, they are flocking to some places in Europe because they're, you know, that's a whole other story. But America is a pretty awesome country. The government sucks ass. There's no denying that. And we have a lot of work. But the country as a whole is pretty sweet. And I can't wait to hit the campaign trail and meet some of you folks. Look for me soon. I'll be out there. And help me hold these people accountable. Start reaching out to your reps, your senators, even at the local level. Start looking at term limits for your mayors and your city council members. Nothing is impossible, folks. And I told my mom this afternoon, you know, as hard as it is going to be to win the White House, if I don't try, I certainly am going to lose. Guy tells me the other day, the cost of doing nothing gets more expensive every day. And this is me doing something. Because at the end of the day, what do you want out of it? Out of politics, out of your country? Do you want to be able to just bitch and moan and complain? Oh, I didn't elect that guy, or blah, 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 blah. Or do you want to actually do something? Well, let's do something. Edmund Hillary didn't climb Mount Everest alone. And I sure as hell ain't going to get to the White House by myself. I'm going to need lots and lots of help. But I think it also comes down to this, folks. I think America is on the verge of revolution. And that revolution is going to happen in one of two spheres. It's going to happen at the ballot box, or it's going to happen in the streets. And I don't say that with any sort of fear-mongering. Edict or anything like that. I say that genuinely. I think that things are getting, we have reached a tipping point where a certain set of Americans don't care. We are experiencing an oligarchy, and that is what caused the downfall of Rome. The quote unquote leadership class does not give a crap about anybody else. And they'll take it all. They will raid the coffers and save themselves and watch the rest of us burn. Term limits is the first step in turning this all around, in getting the oligarchy out of control. because they don't care. They do not care. They care about themselves. And it doesn't have to be some kind of conspiratorial backroom thing. They all have the power. They all have the money. They all have the control. They're going to continue to do what favors them. It's George Carlin said virtually the same thing. I mean, I might be echoing his sentiment. He said it like back in the 70s. We have to create turnover. And as far as the presidential ballot, we need ranked voting. That's another constitutional amendment that needs to be implemented. We need ranked voting, and we should have no less than 5 options for president every 4 years. Washington will every now and then break up a monopoly within the economic sphere, but they will do everything in their power to keep their own monopolies, be it through gerrymandering or election interference one way or the other. It is up to the people to police these people. They're not going to do it themselves. We can't expect them to do the right thing, because they've shown us time and time and time and time again that they won't. Joe Biden is not going to do the right thing. Donald Trump is not going to do the right thing. They're going to do the right thing for them. And as far as Donald Trump is concerned, there is nothing bigger than Donald Trump. I think I've said it before, and I'll say it again about him. He is just... There is nothing bigger than Trump to Trump. Thinking that he cares about the country is just silly. But thinking that Biden cares about the country is just as silly. So vote for me. I promise that if I'm not on the ballot physically, then I will at least be on the ballot as a write-in candidate. So vote for me in November, folks. We need some change. The last time someone said hope and change, what did we get out of that hope and change? We got destabilization in the Middle East. We got running guns. We got the creation of ISIS. Was that the kind of change we were looking for? He got change. Yeah, he got a $12 million waterfront property in Massachusetts. Apparently, somebody doesn't know that the oceans are rising due to climate change. I mean, I don't know why you would buy a beachfront property when the climate is changing. Hopefully that was as nail on the chalkboard for you as it was for me. All right. But no, the point remains. Climate change, Paris Accord. After it's all said and done, I'm going to go buy a $12 million beachfront property. You think these people care about us? Care about you? You think these people care about any group that they get in front of and pander to endlessly? No, they don't. They care about their pensions. They care about their bank account. We are the unwashed. Where do you want that revolution to take place, folks? In the streets or at the ballot box? Because we're going to have to choose real soon. But anyway, I'm going to end the doom and gloom there for now, because there's much, much more doom and gloom coming. I'm going to be talking about Israel in a little while. So be on the lookout for that one. You know that one's going to be fun. Oh, anyway, here's some homework for you. Look up the Truman Doctrine, if you would. That'll be part of my talk on Israel, and Ukraine is also in all of that. But in the meantime, be on the lookout for my petition. I'm going to start a petition about the term limits, trying to get every single member of Congress on the record for it. And you can sign that at moveon.org and join the fight. Join the fight. We need everyone fighting together for term limits. Thanks for listening, folks. Again, I am Adam Deaver, the once and future POTUS of the United States. I'll talk to you again soon.